This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're celebrating a second NESCAC championship for Bates women's basketball as the Bobcats triumphed over Bowdoin Sunday in Brunswick. Plus, the men's basketball team joins the women in making the NCAA tournament, and men's lacrosse picked up a huge win on the road at nationally ranked Wesleyan. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates women's basketball team has won the 2026 NESCAC championship. The Bobcats defeated Amherst Saturday in the NESCAC semifinal by a score of 80-68 and followed that up with a 61-56 win Sunday over top seed and host Bowdoin in the NESCAC championship game. It's the second NESCAC title in program history, but the first for this group of Bobcats. And for senior captain Elsa Delario, it was a long time coming.
You grew up basically at this court, right, with your mom coaching Bowdoin. So how special is it? I mean, can you even put into words what it means to, as a senior, win your first NESCAC title right here on this court?
Yeah, it's about time, honestly. Yeah, it's our first win ever to Bowdoin in this gym, so that was really important to me today. And just, like, always coming back here and playing here, it, like, brings back so many memories. I literally grew up in this gym. I was here, like, every day. So it just means so much to me that we got this win here. And it was our first to do it against Bowdoin for me in my career. It was just so special.
And the official stats have you with 5 blocks. It seemed like even more than that. But, I mean, what was the key to blocking? Basically, I think every time they tried to go down low, you were there, it seemed like. What was opening?
Yeah,
there?
I was really just trying to focus on our help defense. I feel like that was something we kind of struggled with yesterday. And trying not to foul, I mean, it's kind of hard with blocks, but yeah, I was just hungry to get some stops, honestly, and so my hands were there.
You know, the last time you played Bowdoin on this court was this season. Bowdoin won by double digits. At what point, I mean, before the game, during the game, what point were you like, okay, we're in this thing, we got this, kind of?
I mean, we've just been feeling that ever since Hamilton, honestly. With that 20-point deficit, we just felt like we could do literally anything. We wanted this so bad, so bad, and we had no doubt today or this weekend in general, especially with our win last night, that just kind of solidified for us, like, we're doing this. It was just so great to see our execution today and never back down. We can weather any storm, and that showed today.
Can you tell me a little bit about your junior guard, Sarah Hughes, and what she was able to do in these two games? Unbelievable, right?
She's just so huge for us. She's such a great leader, and I'm so excited to see what she does in the future, but she's just the most aggressive. Like, she just puts her head down and just gets the job done. She does her job, and that is so important for us, and she leads so well in that, and leading by example. She hit some big free throws today. I think her poise is just great.
And then I saw you, I was zooming in before the game, like in the huddle. You're the one kind of delivering the message. What message are you delivering, you know, to the team before the game and during timeouts and stuff?
I guess before the game, I was just saying that we're here and we're going to make mistakes and that's okay. And we know that we wanted it more and that we can, again, like I said, we can weather any storm. We knew that we wanted this so bad and that we could take on anything and just to go into the game completely fearless.
Now, what are your thoughts on the NCAA tournament coming up? I mean, it's obviously not an afterthought. You're competing for a national championship, but winning this NESCAC title is going to be a nice way to go into it, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's so exciting. I think it just shows that we can beat any team and we can go super far this year. And I'm super excited to just keep working with this group, such a special group. We work so hard and just to play more games with them, honestly. But yeah, I think this really solidified for us that we can go super far, beat anyone. Yeah.
Great. Any other thoughts you wanted to share on this win? Anything else you wanted to mention we haven't gotten to talk about?
Just love this team so much. So proud of our efforts and our mentality today. It's huge.
Great. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Delario's fellow senior captain, Ava James, has been a key contributor all year, averaging a career-best 6.4 points per game and shooting nearly 42% from the floor, also the best mark of her time at Bates.
You came into Bates the year after they'd won an ESCAC title, and now as a senior, you get to win an ESCAC title. Just go through kind of like what were your thoughts kind of coming into this game? I know Bowden's been kind of like almost the final boss, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, our senior class, we've just been working for this our whole college career, and especially since our sophomore year when we were in this exact same position. And, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times, and we came in with that mentality that we're so much better than how we played the last game, and that we're NESCAC champions, and we came through with it.
You all shot the lights out today. What was opening up for you maybe from three-point range?
Yeah, I mean, I just took what was open, and I felt like they were good, and, yeah, it was great.
I mean, because Bowden's the best three-point shooting team in the conference statistically, so what does it mean to kind of beat them at their own game almost?
I mean, I wasn't really focused on that too much, but I was just shooting what was open, and, yeah, went in our favor.
So what was the main message you as the two, you and Elsa as captain kind of delivered to the team, you know, throughout the week and even before the game maybe, like in the huddle?
Yeah, I mean, our whole season we've basically been saying that if we play our game and play together that we're going to find success. And really this whole week we had a lot of really good practices, and that was our main thing to hone in on the team, that if we play our game, we're going to win. And everyone came through with that. It was a whole team effort.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in terms of, like, the semifinal to the final, obviously the Amherst game, you know, you were down a little bit, but it was close, and then you pulled away. Bowden made it close at the end. I mean, how do these games kind of compare maybe in terms of, you know, back-to-back games here and both victories, though?
Yeah, we've just faced every single kind of game this year. Yeah. We've really, like, came back from 20 from Hamilton, and so we know that we can do whatever we want when we put our mind to it. And so both games, that was our mindset. And so we really took it one possession at a time and didn't let any faults get us down.
So it's almost like a new season now, right?
Yeah.
You've won the NESCAC, NCAA tournament coming up. What are your thoughts on, you know, Selection Monday here tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm super excited. Maybe get a hosting bid, I don't know, but won't get our hopes up on that. But I feel like there's just no one standing in our way, and we're going to go super far.
And we'll like to cut down the net. That's going to be special.
Best feeling ever, especially in this gym. It just, there's a lot of emotion there for us, and so it felt really good.
Yeah, what's it like to, I mean, Elsa grew up in this gym. What's it like to sort of win this for her almost, right?
Oh, my God, it's amazing. She genuinely, this is her gym. Like, we really have been saying that to her all day, and she really took advantage of that.
Great. Any other thoughts you want to mention about this game? Anything else you want to mention we haven't got to talk about?
I just love this team so much, and no one deserves it more, and I'm so happy.
All right, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Junior Sarah Hughes was named the NESCAC Player of the Week, the New England Women's Basketball Association Player of the Week, and she is also our Female Bobcat of the Week after Hughes had a semifinal and final to remember, tallying 21 points on 7 of 12 shooting against the Mammoths and a season-high 24 points on 7 of 9 shooting against the Polar Bears.
I mean, first of all, back-to-back monster games for you, over 20 points in each game. I mean, it just seemed like you were going to refuse to let this team lose. What was your mentality coming into this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to win it for each other no matter what. I mean, as hard as it gets, we're going to keep pushing for each other.
Elsa, obviously, this is special for her, right? Because she kind of grew up in this gym. Was that kind of, you know, almost like win it for Elsa a little bit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were saying this is her home gym. She's spent more time in this gym than any of the players on this team, so... I mean, yeah, it was awesome to let her cut that net down.
And then, I mean, and today, I mean, as a guard, it must be cool to see Elsa blocking so many shots to open up transition opportunities, right? I mean, that must have been one of the keys to victory, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, they're really strong down low in the post, and we've had a problem stopping them in the past. But, yeah, today we had a focus on it, and Elsa executed. It was awesome.
And I guess Elsa pointed out that this is actually the first time, I think, that this group has won in this gym, is that right?
That's a first for me, for sure.
First for you, yeah. So, what does it mean to kind of break through? It feels satisfying to imagine.
Yeah, we've played so many games in this court, and us being able to get a win in here, it kind of has made it so that this court is a little less daunting. I think we had a little bit of like a a nervousness to it, but yeah, we've overcome it.
The atmosphere, obviously, Bates fans on one side, Bowen fans on the other side. What was that like?
That was amazing. I mean, we really wanted people to show up for the game, and it felt really great, especially shout out field hockey. Like, you guys won a NESCAC, we wanted to win that too. Like, that feels amazing. So the amount of people that showed up and the banter they had back and forth, it fueled us and made us play even harder.
You know, at what point during the game we were like, okay, this is like, I mean, you knew it was going to be a close game, I think, but at what point we were like, okay, I think we got this, you know?
Yeah, in the third quarter, it was really messy by both teams. And I think that was a key indicator. I was like, all right, well, we're both human, and there's about 15 minutes left here, and someone has to endure, and it's going to be us.
The step back three, you were hitting it. Is that something you've been working on a lot?
I mean, I do it on my teammates in practice, and I don't usually do it in games because it's a little risky. But yeah, it worked today, and it felt really good. That was a really good moment for me.
Excellent. Then I guess just any other thoughts you want to mention about, you know, being a NESCAC champion?
I mean, like, every single person on this team, 1 through 16, played a huge role in doing this. The way that we push each other in practice, the way that we are such great teammates to each other. It just makes me super grateful for the team that I got to do this with.
Head coach Allison Montgomery looks back on the Bobcats' run to the championship.
Well, Allison, you've won a few NESCAC titles on this court.
Yeah.
What's it like to do it as a coach of Bates?
It's great. I mean, winning a championship is amazing no matter where you do it, how you do it. But, yeah, it's fun. I think it's, you know, winning here. I mean, this is a really special place to me, and I actually have so much respect for this program, not only as a player and when I was here as a student athlete, but where it's been since. And I mean, sustaining the type of success this program has sustained is amazing. They've obviously put together another incredible year, and just I think their coaching staff and their student athletes are awesome. So it's just really fun to feel like, I really feel like the two best teams in the conference were here today. And I think, you know, playoffs don't always work out that way. It's really tough to win in advance, especially in the playoffs. So really fun, and I just have so much respect for Meg. So I mean, that was an incredible battle. So just, you know, really grateful for the opportunity to play in the championship.
And it's got to be extra special. I talked with Elsa already about this, but for Elsa, who grew up on this court, I mean, it must be cool to have, you know, the team basically kind of won it for her a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's similar but different for me, right? Just like, this place is home for her in certain ways and different ways for me, but to just kind of grow up here and to sort of have the seed planted about, like, you know, wanting to be a college basketball player and watch her mom coach here. So I think, yeah, just extra special and kind of a sweet little bonus for both her and myself.
Sarah Hughes, I mean, has been very good in her career, and she just took it to an absolute another level, especially today with these step back threes. I mean, speak to what she was able to do these last few games.
Yeah, she found another level. I think she made a decision going into this weekend of just, you know, how she was going to perform. I think her mentality, her mental toughness, she played a lot of minutes in two games. She took it to another level. She's a very, very talented player, super smart player, rely on her on both ends of the ball. And yeah, she made a decision before this weekend about how it was going to go.
And so, I mean, you've won this before with Bates, obviously, but not with this group. So what does it mean to win with this group? I mean, you're able to get these seniors an NESCAC title, and, you know, it's always a good thing to say, you know, you've had like a group of like eight different classes that have all won championships.
Yeah, totally. It's so special. I mean, for all the women in our program, but yes, especially when I think about this group of seniors, this has been their vision. They've been working towards this. They've done all the things. Like, they've put in all the work. They've 100% believed every second in what we're doing. There's been no deviation for that, and have just been really willing to do it all, hard stuff and fun stuff. So I'm so happy for them, of course, and really excited for what's ahead next week.
We don't know what's ahead necessarily. Yeah. It could be anything,
sure,
really.
Sure, yeah.
What are your thoughts on kind of almost like a new season now, a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, right, on the one hand, it's amazing to take this kind of momentum into the tournament, to feel like you're an automatic qualifier, to feel like we've gotten, you know, something that we've been chasing for the last 4 years. So that's awesome. The momentum's great. I think you also balance that with, right, not wanting to come down from that high, and you go into games with less familiar opponents. I mean, it's really hard to play conference teams that, you know, we've now played three times. That there's a real toughness to that. There's also a toughness to have 3 days to prepare for teams that you're not familiar with. So we'll just be focused on that and want to keep our mentality consistent.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
On Monday, The Bobcats found out that they are hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA Division III Championship this Friday and Saturday at Alumni Gym. They take on the United States Merchant Marine Academy in the first round Friday at 7:15. And you can find more information about the upcoming tournament at GoBatesBobcats.com. Speaking of NCAAs, while the men's basketball team fell at Wesleyan in the NESCAC semifinals on Saturday, they too earned a bid to the Big Dance. The Bobcats are headed to Montclair State in New Jersey for the first two rounds, and they take on Yeshiva Friday at 1 p.m. Head coach John Furbush gives us a preview. Well, coach, previewing the NCAA tournament here on the Bobcast. Nice to be back in it, right? I mean, you kind of knew going into the selection show what was kind of your reaction when you actually saw, you know, Bates pop up on that screen.
Yeah, it's hard to describe the emotions I was feeling because it's been 11 years and I knew our name was going to get called, but I had this just organic reaction. I think I just like yelled. I don't think I said anything. I was just the excitement for these guys just to get this experience. It was just an awesome day yesterday for us.
Yeah, especially for the seniors, right? Because they've, you know, stuck through some tough times, right, and emerged victorious. What does it mean for the senior class to make it?
It means a lot. I think that was part of my excitement for them was just the persistence of, you know, handling so much adversity. It was a tough first couple of years, but these guys have put in a ton of work, and so to get the results. I mean, these are obviously we focus on the process, but when the results come, it's pretty exciting too.
Yeah, certainly. Well, Yeshiva is your opening round opponent, which is an interesting school. I mean, they're for those who don't know, they're an Orthodox Jewish school basically, and they have I think one guy who scores a ton of points for them, electric player. I actually randomly watched one of their games when they beat NYU earlier this year. What are your thoughts on this opening round matchup?
Yeah, they're very good. They've played an incredibly challenging non-league schedule, and then they won their league out. I mean, they went undefeated in league play, so I think they're on like a 14-game win streak. Very good. Their best player scores like 23, 24 a game, and if he has any space inside a half court, it's going up and it's going in. So, but they're good. They run a unique system. They don't set any ball screens. It's all off-ball, you know, screening and cutting, and they're really hard to guard and a lot of random offense, but I think it's a great matchup for us positionally, you know, just looking at how they play and who we have. So I think, you know, we got to do a little bit more research on them, but I think it's a good matchup for us for sure.
And last time you were NCAAs, did you go to New Jersey also?
We did. We went to Stockton.
Yeah, okay. So this is Montclair State. I assume you'll be scouting, you know UMF pretty well, but I assume you'll be scouting Montclair State also. So tell me a little bit about this week because you're balancing, you know, the immediate priority of Yeshiva, but you also won't be ready if you win, play the next day, right?
yeah. There's no doubt. It's a hard balance. And thankfully, the way the NESCAC season goes, you know, we're always playing two games in a weekend. So, you know, Zach, my assistant, and I have kind of divvied up the responsibilities for the other two teams. And obviously, one of them is a familiar opponent. So we don't have a ton more work to do on those guys. But yeah, Montclair's, they're different. They're fast. They're pressing and trapping. It's unlike any, you know, both teams are playing unlike any other NESCAC team we face. So it's kind of a exciting and alarming situation all in one.
The NESCAC semifinal against Wesleyan, that was a game where you're right in there at halftime, 1-point game at halftime, and then Wesleyan was able to pull away. But I mean, what'd you kind of learn about the team in the NESCAC semifinal matchup? Obviously a tough road environment, right?
Yeah, I thought you know, I'm just kind of leaning into the path that we're on. But yeah, at halftime, our guys, like you could see in their eyes, they were like, oh, we belong in this conversation. We're good. We can beat them. And I think the difference between how we played and how we can win that game in the future is like, oh, we belong. Let's go win this game. And like, not just believe, let's actually go execute. And I think, you know, there's no skipping steps in you know, success. And so I think that we needed to have that moment to realize, like, we got to be better in the second half. We got to come out and execute and play like we're down 10 and not just be happy with the fact that it's a one-possession game in the NESCAC semifinals. But, you know, these guys haven't never been there before, so you don't know what you don't know. And now they have a better experience, and I'm just trying to get these guys to, you know, apply experience 1 week to the next and not wait until next year to do it. So hopefully that translates when we go down to New Jersey.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the travel, I mean, I know there was an outside chance the men might host, but the women are hosting, obviously, because they won the NESCAC and got into the top 16 MPI. But traveling's fun, though, right? I mean, I imagine the team's excited to make the trip.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's a unique trip because Yeshiva has to play. We have to play at 1 o'clock on Friday.
Right.
And so we just had the call for practice time. So we're practicing at 1 o'clock Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to leave tomorrow night after practice here. Okay. And just break the trip up. So you know, if we win in advance, we're leaving Wednesday night and coming home, you know, Sunday morning or late Saturday night. So it's this is like an actual road trip for these guys. You know, it's going to be an awesome and exciting environment for us just to get in the road for sure.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, just your experience in 2015 at NCAAs, does that apply to this at all in terms of the environment? What can you, like, relate to them about what they can expect?
Yeah, I think there's certain things that, like, I made note of when that happened and just try to, like, you know, just do what we do. And I think sometimes when the lights get brighter, people tend to go rogue, and we don't want that to happen. There's a reason we are where we are, and that's because we've been consistent with how we play. And so as much as I want these guys to have an incredible experience, we want to keep playing after this weekend. So I just think we have to really focus on doing what we do and having a wrinkle for both teams that we were going to play, but not – you know, not get too excited about the environment.
And not to look too far ahead, but if you do make the Sweet 16, I think you're on a collision course with the team you already played, right?
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, I don't know as much about their pod, but right. I haven't played them. I would be surprised if Emory didn't come out of that that bracket. So it'd be nice to play them and not coming off like a 12-day break from the holiday break. So. That would be great to go back down there if the opportunity arose.
Yeah, certainly. Well, any other thoughts you want to mention about the season so far and this accomplishment for the men's basketball team you want to mention we haven't gotten to talk about?
I'm super proud of the guys for, this process really started last March after the season ended and they took a few weeks off and, you know, they started training in ways that they haven't before and they held each other to a much higher standard collectively and there was no, there was really no weak links or people not invested in it, and that carried through the summer and into the fall. So by the time I got these guys in mid-October for practice, I was just like, wow, we're already kind of on like chapter three of the book. So and they've just continued to excel in these moments. So I just can't express my, you know, gratitude for the work they're putting in, and I think like the happiness we have for where we are is now kind of turned into hunger. And let's be a little bit greedy and extend the season as long as we can.
Excellent. Bobcats taking on Yeshiva Friday at 1 o'clock on the campus of Montclair State down in New Jersey. Head coach John Furbush, thanks so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
The men's lacrosse team is ranked 20th in the country by the USILA and 13th in the nation by USA Lacrosse after a huge 13-11 road win at then number 6 nationally ranked Wesleyan on Saturday. Junior goalie Andrew Tolan made 20 saves in the victory, earning NESCAC Player of the Week honors. And he is our male Bobcat of the Week. Well, Andrew, a huge win against a ranked Wesleyan team, number 6 in the country, in fact, on the road at Middletown on Saturday. First of all, just take us through what the team was feeling after that victory. That must be such a great bus ride back, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah, everybody was really excited. You know, it's been a long, long time coming for us, especially, you know, us juniors and seniors. But everybody was definitely very excited. But quick turnaround, we got Emerson on Tuesday, so practice on Sunday. Coach is keeping us in line and focusing on the next game for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned, obviously, you're a junior here at Bates. This is your first win over a ranked team during your time as a Bobcat. So what does that mean? Because last year was a good year, I thought, but now to beat someone in the upper half, that must be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it kind of just is a testament to what we've been doing as a team, you know, all the work we've been putting in day in and day out and kind of just developing over these last couple of years. And, you know, getting this win is huge for us in terms of, you know, kind of just seeing our results. But I would say, you know, it's our coach Nino has emphasized over the past 2 days that is definitely not where we're stopping. You know, we're going to keep going and keep working. So it was definitely huge to see kind of those results coming to action, but, you know, it's definitely not the end of the road for us.
Yeah, talking with Coach Nino before the year, he mentioned obviously a lot of returners from a points perspective, guys who scored a lot of goals for last year, guys who dished out a lot of assists. Defense a little bit younger, right? Mm-hmm. You're an experienced guy. You've played, you know, now your third year here at Bates. You play as a first year and a sophomore. But how are you working with some of the younger defenders? How is that kind of going?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing we've been focused on is just trying to get everybody bought into our theme. You know, we have very like specific principles on defense. And if everybody kind of knows what's going on, it just makes it a lot easier. But I think the biggest thing that I've noticed with the younger guys is just like being able to stay in these big games, you know, being able to stay composed during these big games is a big thing. You know, it's a huge adjustment coming from high school to college. The game's a lot faster and, you know, you're going to make mistakes left and right. So I think the biggest thing was just being able to kind of keep these guys in check that are, you know, getting their first couple minutes and, you know, just continue to just keep them up throughout the entire process.
You know, when you're playing a team like Wesleyan, they graduated a lot of guys from last year. It's their first game of the year, so you have no tape on them. As a goalie, what's your approach there? Because you're kind of going in blind a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think one thing that I like to rely on is kind of just like my resume in terms of being like playing Wesleyan in the past. You know, I played them twice before, three times before. Yeah. So I kind of know, you know, how they run, how their offense kind of operates. But I think, you know, the big thing for me as a goalie is in terms of film, I don't like to harp myself on like specific movements of players and shooters on film, because I think, you know, sometimes that'll just get a little too, it kind of gets clumped up in my mind a little bit. And I kind of just, you know, say to myself, I'm going to go out there and just kind of try to find the ball, you know, make these saves. I don't really try to get too wound up on the fact of, you know, what these players are doing, you know, where they're shooting and all that stuff. So.
And then take us through the game on Saturday. I mean, 20 saves, yeah. Save percentage over 64%. What was clicking for you?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that kind of started it all was my kind of thing is, you know, if I make that first save, I kind of roll into every single save. So making that first one for me is super big in terms of, you know, getting hot and staying on a roll. That was really big for me. And I think the other thing that played in effect with me was, you know, the weather being able, it was 50 degrees and it was sunny. It was a beautiful day for lacrosse. So that was, you know, a big aspect in terms of being able to stay hot and not physically get cold, was huge. But, you know, after making that first save, you know, I was really just seeing the ball, and, you know, defense played an unbelievable game, you know, giving me shots that I was able to see. So I think that was definitely a big part of it. Definitely the best defensive performance we've had this year. So hopefully we can continue to build on that.
Have to ask about the fourth quarter, because I'm tracking the game on my phone and we're up, I think, by four or five entering the fourth, and Wesleyan scores.
Yeah.
And Wesleyan scores, and they chip away. How are you guys did end up holding them off. Obviously you won the game. How are you able to stop that momentum? Cause they seem to have a lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, they kind of started that momentum off of man down. They were able to score. And, you know, it was like 10 minutes left and they started piling these goals. You could tell that people were starting to get tired. I think the biggest thing that we focus on as a defense and as an entire team is being able to stop these runs of, you know, them winning the faceoff, coming down, scoring, like being able to stop that, go and get an offensive possession for 80 seconds. And then also being able to stay calm under this pressure. They eventually got it within one and it was like 11 to 10. And obviously it was like a little dicey, but I think, you know, we were able to kind of come together after every goal and just talk it out and be like, hey, like we need to do this, like no big deal. Nobody needs to freak out. You know, it's not a big deal. And we were able to kind of just stay composed and be able to perform in the big moment where we need to pull it out. So
three games on the road to start the year. How excited are you for the home opener you mentioned Tuesday here at Gar Salon?
Yep. So excited. I love playing at Gar. I know we got the Jumbotron now too, so we'll be able to pull out some of the guys on the Jumbotron, but I could not be more excited. So, you know, coming back to Gar, it's always great.
Yeah, certainly. And I wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, some of the depth on this team, because the first game against Union, I noticed you picked up like a penalty at the very end of the game, which I don't see from goalies very often. Miles Schmidt said it was the right play for you to make. But tell us what happened with the penalty, and then how proud are you of, you know, your backup, who's a senior, right? Stepping up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So basically on the penalty, they were coming down, and we were up one goal at this point. Yeah. And they came down. There's a guy wide open on the crease. So I came out of the crease and I hit him. And it ended up going in too. It tipped off his stick and went in, which was unfortunate. Or I think we were up two at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they called me for an illegal body check. So I was pulled out of the game, and I've never actually been pulled out of a game to like go and serve a penalty before. I didn't really even knew that was a thing that you could pull your goalie, but Drew Nias was able to step in, and I told him after the game, I was just like, I was amazed, because I know being a goalie coming off the bench and just being freezing cold, and you know, he got put in the most important part of the game and stepped in and made a save and like completely won that game for us. So that was huge to be able to see him, you know, come cold off the bench and perform when it really mattered.
So as a goalie, you're allowed to hit people, just not the way you did it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm able to step out, but you can't be doing what I did. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because sometimes as a goalie also, when you get the ball, you try to bring it up all the way up the field a little bit. That that makes me nervous because like the net's unguarded. How do you decide when to do that and stuff?
Yeah, so you know, we run through our clear, being able to hit our defensemen on the outside, and we have our middies cutting back and forth. Sometimes when, you know, they're doing, the opposing team's doing a good job of being able to lock off kind of, you know, our middies and our poles. And I have a lane. I'm you know, kind of granted permission by our coach to be able to take it over and try to get a clear in. I trust my athletic ability to be able to get over the 50 and be able to clear it. But, you know, there's always that little bit of excitement being able to maybe take it to the net and go score a goal. But
I was going to say that. It's back your mind thinking, oh, I could get a goal or maybe even an assist.
Yeah.
Perhaps more realistically an assist. Right?
Yeah, exactly. There's always that thought. But, you know, you don't want to make anything. Don't want to make any too bad mistakes. So going down trying to score.
Certainly. Well, I mean, as a junior now, your first 2 years as a Bobcat, you obviously, as I mentioned, you played a lot. What did you learn from that experience that you've applied to this season, your third year now?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the biggest thing from kind of a team aspect would be, you know, results are going to take time. You know, being here for these past 2 years or 3 years now at this point, freshman, sophomore year, we saw, you know, great growth from freshman year where we didn't win a NESCAC game. Last year, sophomore year, we won four and finished with a winning record. And now this year, we're starting off 3-0 with a big win against Wesleyan. I think these results just take time. And you know, it's never going to be a process where, you know, it picks up one day and it just happens one day. Being able to stay patient and you know, kind of continue to work day in and day out is just super important with this team and kind of that culture that we built around it.
You're the first Bates men's lacrosse goalie to get NESCAC Player of the Week in 13 years. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's pretty exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting. But I would have to say that, you know, a lot of that comes with, you know, what we've done as a team and what we've done, especially as a defense too. You know, my job is just as important as, you know, what they're doing, and they're just giving me the shots that I can see. So that's the biggest part that, you know, I like to harp on.
Excellent. Anything else you want to mention about the win over Wesleyan? We haven't got to talk about anything else people should know. I mean, it was a road victory, which is great. No one, unless you're watching the web feed, you couldn't go to the game, really, unless you drove to Connecticut. So tell us a little bit, maybe anything else you want to mention about the key to victory, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think one other big thing that if you were on the live stream, you might have heard them, but we had a ton of lacrosse alumni from last year that were at the game.
Nice.
And they were... They provided a ton of support for us, you know, including our bench too. So we had a ton of fans there, a ton of people that support the program, which was huge. You know, being able to get that support on the road is definitely big too.
You feel like they almost outnumbered the Wesleyan fans?
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. We're pretty good about that, so very proud of that.
Excellent. Great traveling fan base for the Bobcats. Andrew Tolan is our male Bobcat of the week and the NESCAC player of the week. The Bobcats are 3-0. They're home against Emerson Tuesday. It's a 5:30 start now, 5:30. Against Emerson at Garcelon Field for the home opener. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The track and field teams were in Boston on Sunday, competing at the New England Division III Indoor Championships at the track at New Balance. And first-year Hannah Pulaski returned to Bates as the New England champion in the women's 600 meters. She broke her own school record in the event as well, crossing the finish line in 1 minute 33.73 seconds.
I was seated first in the fastest heat by about 2.5 seconds. And the girl who was closest to me, seated second, was to my right in lane six. And I expected her to go out pretty fast and, like, set the pace for the first 150 meters. But as soon as the race started, like 20 meters in, I saw this girl isn't going. I got to pass her now. So I took the lead from the gun and just at the cut-in at the 150 mark and kept pushing. I had... a girl from WPI right behind me for the first about 300 meters. So I felt the pressure behind me and just kept pushing. Around the 400 meter, I started to break away and honestly got a little nervous because I couldn't tell where people were behind me. But just once you hear the bell ring, you just know you got to go. And took it all the way to the line and finished with the win, so it was a good feeling.
Yeah, it's interesting that you break away and you're all by yourself all of a sudden. And I think we talked before how you ran a race basically by yourself earlier this year, right?
Yes. So,
but this was a little different because you kind of knew you were in first here, right?
Much more enjoyable from the front. it is kind of hard not knowing where people are. I kind of try to judge it based on, like, sometimes I'll look for their shadow or hear their footsteps or, like, hearing the people clapping around me. But I had no idea where I was at that point. So that was a little nervous, but I held on.
And what was it like being up there on the podium? That's got to be a cool experience,
that,
right?
That was so cool. That's the first time I've ever done that. That was really fun.
In general, the championship environment, I mean, obviously you compete at the main state meet. You won the 600 meters there. But what's New England's, like, kind of a next level type deal? Like, what was the environment kind of like in general?
Yeah, that was definitely a big goal for the season. I'd gone to New England's 3 times in high school, but I definitely feel like I've gained a lot of wisdom and felt more comfortable now that I've had some experience under my belt. And yeah, it's just great vibes at the championship.
And then you were also on the 4x400 relay, right?
Yes, that was an epic race.
Excellent.
Really good teamwork on that one.
Yeah, you all scored points for the Bobcats, got 6th there. So take us through that race.
So Alexia was our lead. She took us out really good, got us in nice position. Then Grosso was leg 2, and she was very competitive in that race. I remember, like, she was telling me how normally during her race she likes to, like, pass people in the first lap, and, like, if she doesn't do that, like, she kind of gets loses her confidence. But she did really good and, like, had a push in the second half of her race. I'm very proud of her for that. And then Charlotte also just holding the position. There's a lot of back and forth during her leg, and just handed off the baton to me right where I needed it with Amherst right in front. And I kind of let go of Amherst for a little bit in the middle of the race, but then a really good surge at the end, and I got him with a lean.
Nice. Yeah. And that's a younger group in that 4x400. Sounds
yes.
Like, is that all first years and sophomores?
All underclassmen,
so what's that kind of dynamic like?
That's really good because we're, like, young, and we also know, like, we'll have this team for a long time, and I can see us breaking the record in the future.
Excellent, yeah. And then this Saturday is the Tufts final qualifier. So I was looking at the national rankings. You're currently ranked 30th in the 800, so you'll be running the 800 there. You have to get, what, in the top 20 to make it?
Yep, correct.
Okay, so what are your approach this weekend at Tufts? I mean, are you, like, feeling any nerves, or are you just going to be like, this is all gravy a little bit?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have more of the it's all gravy kind of thing, but also definitely – I'm going there to give it my all. I believe I need about 1.4 second PR.
Okay.
But Tufts is a flat track.
Yeah.
And Nationals is held at a banked track, so I'll have the conversion factor in my favor.
Okay.
Yes, I need a 212.6 is the 20th seed right now, and right now I have a 214.
Okay.
But for the racing strategy, I'm just going to try to go out like I did in the 600, take the lead. Hopefully there will be some fast people in the heat to pull me along. I don't know. I'm going to give it my all.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, and it does really matter, like, your competition, doesn't it? Like, mm-hmm. it matters who else is in there. So, we don't know who's going to be there yet, do we?
No, I haven't seen the entry list out yet.
Gotcha.
I'll probably get it around Wednesday or Thursday.
Gotcha. And you'll probably look at the times at that point and be like, okay.
Okay, this is who I need to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. So the 800 meters compared to the 600, obviously 200 more meters. But, I mean, what are big differences for you in terms of the approach to those races, I guess?
I guess just more controlled splits.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of kick around the same point, like, with 400 left is when I really want to start getting to work. It's a very similar race.
Very similar race. Yeah. Excellent.
I'd say the 600 and 800 are more similar than the 600 and the 400.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
More overlap there.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, I mean, have you talked to any of, like, your, you know, older teammates who have competed at this meet before? Because it's kind of interesting meet where I feel like everyone there is kind of, there's two ways you can go about it, as we talked before. So, I mean, some people might just be there for fun, and some people might be there like, oh my God, I need to qualify.
Yeah.
Have you talked to people about the experience of going to Tufts?
I talked to Carly, mm-hmm. who's a thrower on the team. She went last year, and she was not qualified until the last chance meet.
Right.
So I just, I believe her advice went along the lines of, like, just give it everything you got, and be confident in your abilities, but also know, like, you've worked really hard to get here, so just keep that in mind.
Sounds good. Well, anything else you wanted to mention about the New England Championships we haven't got to talk about yet?
We did a great job overall as a team. Lots of hard work. It was a great season. And I also just felt lots of support from my teammates and coaches and and my family and friends, and I'm really grateful for that.
Excellent. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Congrats on being the New England champion, the 600 meters, as I mentioned off air. I wish that was an NCAA event because you're obviously one of the fastest in the country there in the 600. But rooting for you in the 800 this Saturday at Tufts, and thanks again.
Thank you so much.
The men's tennis team swept Southern Maine and Brandeis Sunday at Merrill Gym. The Bobcats rolled to a 7-0 win over the Huskies, but the Brandeis match was as tight as it gets. Bates prevailed 4-3 over the number 32 nationally ranked judges as first-year Rocco Renier clinched the victory. Well, Rocco, before we talk about your exciting match against Brandeis the other day, give me a little bit about your background. You're from Missouri. Tell me a little bit about how Bates got on your radar for college.
Well, I used this recruiting website called Unrecruitable. The guy knew Paul Gastonguay, our coach, and I reached out to him. He reached out to me first, though, and I just kind of took off from there. I really like the school here academically. The people around here are great, and the tennis program is the best.
Had you ever been to Maine before you were looking at Bates?
No. No, I have not. When I first got here, it was gorgeous.
So how does it compare to, you know, Missouri where you grew up?
It's much prettier than St. Louis because it's just, like, there's more wide open space. Mm-hmm. Not much, like, it's, in St. Louis, it's more like, it's, here it's more urban. It's more like, there's more trees. There's more, like, actual, like, environmental stuff here. I'm like, it's more industrial back in Missouri.
Gotcha. And tell me a little bit about growing up. When did you start playing tennis? What really got you into the sport?
I started playing tennis around like 6 years old. My brother actually played tennis when he was younger, and I just like saw it one time, so I was like, I'll just give it a go, and it just kind of took off from there.
Was that your only sport, or did you play other sports?
During the time, I actually started with karate. And then soccer, and then tennis all at the same time. I was kind of like, oh, I got to kind of pick one, and tennis was the one.
Yeah, certainly. What made tennis a sport that you really enjoy? I mean, what's your favorite part about playing, I guess?
I like having fun a lot, and tennis really brings that out, and I like being competitive. That's like, I'm just a really competitive person, like, whatever I do, and just tennis is exactly what that is for me.
On the website, your roster talks about your what experience Big or Small has made a surprising impact on you. You said being on the high school tennis team. Tell me a little about how that made an impact.
High school was really fun for me, especially for tennis, because like I got to see my friends every day. My coaches were awesome, and it really taught me how to be a leader in different ways, especially my senior year, because during my junior year, I actually broke my foot, so I couldn't really play. And coming back, I was really excited to see my friends again on a daily basis and just play matches, really, and try to be a better person and leader.
Excellent. So, on Sunday, a couple of wins for the Bobcats, a sweep of Southern Maine, and then a 4-3 thriller against Brandeis, and you play at number 4 singles, had a decisive victory. It was a 2-set match. Your first set was a battle. You won in a tiebreaker. Tell me a little bit about this match, and then what was it like celebrating with your team after you got the victory? I saw the video.
At the beginning of the match, I was going back and forth a lot. It was a really tough first set, really. I mean, the guy was playing really well. It was just really just going back and forth. Eventually, until I got to the tiebreaker, I kind of just buckled down and just made every ball, and I did everything I could to win every point I could. And then after the match when I won, it was just one of the best moments I had in tennis, really. I had my whole team gathering around me, and it was just a really cool moment for me.
Yeah, because when it's down to one match like that, all eyes are on you. Yeah. What was that experience like to have everyone kind of – because normally, like, there's other people playing at the same time, but it's just you there.
I mean, it's not the first time, but this is the first time, like, in a college environment where a lot of pressure has been, like, put on one single person and one match deciding everything. It was a lot, especially at one moment. I played USCA for juniors in tennis, so I've had experience in pressure, but this was a different level of pressure I felt.
And Brandeis was ranked, I think, in the 30s in the ITA, so this is a big win for the team.
It's a big win.
Yeah, what did Coach kind of say about what this means for the program?
It's a big moment, and we can build off it. Yeah. We know we can do it, and we know we belong in these like really top-ranked schools, and we know we can beat these schools and be in these matches with them.
You're also playing doubles. Looks like you're at number 2 doubles right now.
Yeah.
So how's that going, you know, building chemistry? It looks like you guys got a nice 6-0 win there.
Yeah, I mean, me and Antonio, we played really well. I love playing with Antonio. He's a fun guy to play with. Keeps me positive on the court, and he's just a really fun guy to be around.
And, you know, growing up, did you play much doubles? Because some people tell me when they get to college, doubles is actually new for them.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's not new. I've been playing doubles. Like, every tournament I usually play, and I try to play, obviously, singles and doubles. I like playing doubles. It's fun. And in college, it's extremely important because it gets the first point.
Yeah.
And getting that first point really is important when it comes to playing tennis, especially in the team matches and dual matches.
What's it like to have two matches in one day? That's a long day at Merrill Gym.
It's a really long day. Yeah, it was a really long day, but we got the job done. That was good.
Certainly. I know Merrill Gym, the surface is like nothing else. It's kind of a home court advantage. How have you as a first year adjusted to that? Because I'm sure it's unlike anything you've played on before.
It's nothing like I've played on before. I mean, it's a track surface, so it's a little different.
Yeah.
The weirdest surface I ever played on was probably carpet. I know it's really, it was really weird, but
like thick carpet.
Yeah, no, it's like thin carpet, but it's like kind of really weird. It's kind of like clay, but like you can't really slide on it really.
Where
was
that at?
It's back where I'm from in St. Louis. Yeah. It's a place called like in Frontenac, like kind of like a suburban place.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and here the courts move way faster, so they move faster. So everything has to be faster. Visualizing, seeing the blast come faster, racket back has to go faster, footwork has to be faster.
Great. What's it like learning from Coach Gassingay? Because, you know, he's been here 30 years. He's an alum. What's it like playing for him?
It's awesome. He's one of the reasons why I came here, really, because he's just a great coach. And when he gets on us or something, it's out of love, and he actually, like, cares about us. Yeah, I picked one of these schools because of him, because the character he has when coaching and on the court, off the court, I can always talk to him about anything I want to or, like, something I need. He's always there. So it's just kind of like those parent kind of slash coaches at the same time.
Excellent. Now, you guys this weekend are headed down to Tufts.
Yes.
They're a highly ranked team. That's a noon match on Saturday. And then you follow that up with a road match at Trinity on Sunday at 2:00. So a NESCAC road weekend. These will be your first NESCAC matches. What are your thoughts on the, you know?
It's exciting. Yeah. I'm really excited. Yeah, these are really good matches. I'm really excited to play them. They're two really good teams, and we had to play our best.
And then you got the chance to go to Florida to play, face some D2 competition. What was that experience like?
Really harsh. Yeah. Really. Extremely hard. Yeah. I mean, these are really cool colleges to play against. Awesome. I actually got to see one of my friends that goes to Rollins there. He plays tennis there. I went all to the juniors with him. So it was fun to see him again. It was a really cool experience playing D2 colleges, unlike D3 colleges, which is what are just as good. So,
yeah, I was going to say, is there much of a difference? Like, what'd you notice?
I mean, not really. I think, I mean, D2 is obviously just probably a little higher just because it's Division 2 tennis. Yeah. But Division 3, especially in the NESCAT, NESCAT's like one of the hardest, if the hardest divisions in tennis when it comes to D3. And we're about the same levels as those Division 2 colleges.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, as a first year, what's been the biggest adjustment to college tennis compared to maybe when you played in high school? What have you had to, you know, adjust to?
Definitely the rigors of academics.
Sure.
I mean, changing from there to just academics especially, and finding the time to get on the court too.
Yeah.
Not trying to balance it out and just trying to, like, make sure everything is, like, going well, not putting one in front of the other. That's what I was, like, really concerned about. It's like, I got to make sure everything is lining up fine and not putting one thing over the other.
Any classes have stood out to you so far? Anything that you've really enjoyed?
I really like a culture anthropology class I took first semester. It was a really fun class, even though it was at 8 a.m. in the morning. But but it was a really fun class.
8 a.m., yeah. When I was in college, I never scheduled anything before 11 if possible. But I assume you have to try to do those 8 a.m.s to fit in tennis time as well, right?
Yeah, because our workouts, we have workouts in the morning at 6:30 in the morning to 7:30 in the morning on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah.
So I was like, if I'm right up at that time, I'll just do a class.
Might as well.
Right, might as well.
Absolutely. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on this, you know, the big weekend for the men's tennis team, a couple of victories, anything else that stood out to you kind of about the team?
Honestly, this, like, having a win, especially like this, and just, like, for me, like, in general, like, I've always seen people, like, having those clutch moments out there. But for me, like, especially being one of the person who did it, is, like, I feel like just really, like, brings out the experience for me, especially. And, like, always dreaming of, like, having that opportunity to even do that, even though, like, some people never get that. I'm just blessed to even have the opportunity to have that. It was a really big moment. And it's something I work for with me and my parents for a long time to get to that moment.
Awesome. Well, Rocco, congratulations again on the clinching victory there against Brandeis. Bobcats, their next home match, by the way, folks, will be March 14th at 1 o'clock, so a week from Saturday, taking on Middlebury. They'll be home at Merrill Gym at 1, and then March 15th home at 11 a.m. against Williams. A bunch of home matches coming up, actually, as later in March they'll be taking on Bowdoin and early April Colby. So the next schedule starting. Rocco, congratulations, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Let's go, Bobcats.
The baseball team is 4-1 and off to their best start to a season since 2013 after the Bobcats swept Bard in a doubleheader on Saturday. Senior Gibby Sullivan was named the NESCAC Player of the Week as he is absolutely on fire to start the season, going 10-for-16 at the plate with a home run and 14 runs batted in. Weather permitting, Bates fans can catch the Bobcats in action this Sunday at noon when Bates is scheduled to host Brandeis at Leahy Field. And don't forget, GoBatesBobcats.com is your source for all the latest Bates athletics news, as the Bobcats are the only NESCAC school with both of our basketball teams in the NCAA tournament this year. And we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.